How long did Jesus spend doing his life's work? His public ministry, his main mission, how long was that? About 3 years. All of his teaching, healing, miracles, prophecies, parables, all of that was about 3 years. And that might seem like a long time. It's not all that long for a life's work, but it might seem like a decent length of time. But Luke's gospel tells us that Jesus began his public ministry when he was 30 years old. So what was he doing for those first 30 years? I mean, for the latter half of that, he was working. He was being a carpenter along with Joseph. And so he was teaching by example about the value and dignity of hard work. But is that all? Is that the only thing? And theology would say no. He was doing something else those 30 years. He was with his mother and his foster father, with Mary and Joseph. He was living in a family, the Holy Family, which we celebrate today. And by living in that family, he was teaching by his example, teaching the importance of family life. He was helping his mother Mary around the house. He was helping Joseph around the shop. He was working side by side with Joseph as he got older. He was doing the simple things, you know, carrying water, gathering wood, starting a fire for cooking, washing the dishes, same sort of things we still do. And think about it. Jesus is God, so he can do whatever he wants. He could have chosen to come down to earth any way he wanted. He could have just sort of snapped his metaphorical fingers and appeared as a human person at age 30 and, you know, gotten right to work preaching and healing. But he didn't. He chose to become an infant and to be raised and to become a member of a family. And then he chose to stay with that family for 30 years. He was not anxious to get away, to get started on the really important things of his mission. He took his time at Nazareth, because that too was teaching. He was teaching us the importance of family. And he taught us that lesson for 10 times as long as his whole public ministry. 30 years. That should tell us something. And this is important for us because we all have a family. We all come from a family. Most of us got to grow up in a family and still have relationships with them. Most of us are called to start a family through marriage. The family is part of human nature. It's the way God made us. It's not accidental. It's part of how he designed us. And it's also a vocation. It's a call given by God. It's the most common vocation by far. Now, some people are called to be priests. Some people are called to be religious brothers and sisters. Some are called to other specialized missions. But the vast majority are called to be married and to raise a family. And so it's a good thing that Jesus spent so long with the family. It shows that this is an important vocation. It gives an example and a teaching for the most common vocation. So the family is part of human nature. God made us this way for many different reasons. Now, one rather deep theological reason is that the family is a community produced and bound together by love, selfless love. And that actually reflects the inner nature of the Trinity. So we can meditate that. We could meditate on that all day. Another reason is the normal training that the parents are able to provide for their children, training and in the things of this world and also in spiritual things. There's so many other reasons for us to be in a family. But another reason that we're made like this is that we tend to bug each other. Seriously, family can be really annoying. I know, in my family, we like to go camping. Usually every summer we go up camping by the north shore of Lake Superior. And it's great, there's beautiful scenery, sitting by the shore, watching the waves crash against the rocks, and it's a good time together. But also, when we're in close proximity with each other for several days in a row, you know, tightly together in one minivan or in a camper at the same table, we tend to get frustrated with each other sometimes. Sometimes they're idiosyncrasies which we normally would just sort of pay no attention to. They get annoying since we're kept so close together by circumstances. You know, we can't get away from each other, at least not for long, since we have meals together, we're in the same camper, we're driving back together, all of that. And so we have to learn to live with each other. And this is what family is. You're stuck with your family. You can't just leave them and get another family. So you have to learn to live with them. You have to learn to get along. And so you might as well learn to get along well. Being around your family all the time gives you lots of opportunities to work on the virtue of patience. And not just patience, but also generosity, kindness, forgiveness. Basically, all the things that St. Paul talks about in our second reading from Colossians. He writes, "Brothers and sisters, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if one has a grievance against another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these, put on love, that is, the bond of perfection." These are things that we all need to learn in our life. They're qualities that God wants us to have. They're actually required to get into heaven. That's what will allow us to live in peace with everyone in heaven. That's what will make heaven a peaceful place. So we need to learn them. And so, in God's providence, God gives us a natural way to grow in these by putting up with our brothers and sisters, our father and mother, our spouse, our children. Think about it. God didn't have to make us this way. We didn't have to have a family by nature. He could have designed human beings in some way that we were just always independent and self-sufficient. Whenever something annoyed us, we could just sort of move on and we'd be fine on our own. And we'd never be forced to grow, to learn patience and forgiveness and compassion. And so we wouldn't learn these things. And we would end up being far worse people, more selfish people as a result. That's why Pope St. Paul VI called Nazareth, where the Holy Family lived, he said it was the school of love. It's where family love was lived out very well, almost perfectly. You know, Jesus and Mary were sinless, and Joseph was a great saint. And so the Holy Family is a great example and model for us. And our families, too, are schools of love. They're called to be schools of love, where we get better through constant practice at forgiveness and compassion. We're called to imitate the Holy Family. It's an inspiration to think of them, to think of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph living together in harmony as a family. So we strive to love our family the way they loved theirs. But the Holy Family isn't only an example for us. It's not just sort of this perfect ideal way up there, impossible for us to live up to. The Holy Family, the members of it, are also people that we can ask for help. We ask them to pray for us because they know what it's like to live in a family. They can sympathize with us. They know what it's like to be exhausted but still have to care for a child. They know what it's like to have to forgive a family member. They know the beauties and the challenges of family life. And they want our families to be blessed. And they're willing to help with their prayers and grace. So today, if you think your family has a lot of problems, if maybe you look around on Facebook, at church, and in the restaurants or wherever, and you see other families and you think that they're just perfect and they have it all together, but one, they don't have it all together. But two, it's okay if your family has problems because it's the imperfections and problems which help the family members to grow in love, as St. Paul talks about. So as we honor the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, let's also ask them for help. Let's ask Mary and Joseph to pray for us. Let's ask Jesus to send his grace into our families, that we may grow together in heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, patience, forgiveness, and love.